Hi, everybody. Paul Sesnick here. Welcome to another episode of Journey Without Distance. This is the podcast where we go within ourselves to the highest that is available to us. And from that lofty perspective, we are able to look out upon the world and our lives in the world and make choices about how to create our lives to be more to our liking. This episode I'm entitling Say No to Beliefs and Then God is There. Say no to your beliefs and then God is there. This is an interesting topic. I originally put out a recording back maybe four years ago or so on the subject of having no beliefs. And I've had a number of inquiries about that. What is the meaning? A couple of them are kind of cute. One person simply wrote, I'm confused. What do you do with beliefs? How does that all work? Someone else said, you had me at the having no beliefs idea until you started sneaking in beliefs about the soul and reincarnation and about God. Ha, ha, ha. That was really good. Very thoughtful. Very, very good coming from a higher point of consciousness within that viewer. Another one, isn't it a belief to claim that reincarnation is true? Isn't it a belief to say that reincarnation is true? And again, this viewer would be correct in that. It is a belief. As a matter of fact, it's beliefs that cause us to reincarnate in the first place. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Someone else says, what happens to us when we finally finish everything that we've come here to do? Then what do we do? All right, let's look at this idea of beliefs. When I'm saying have no beliefs, say no to beliefs, is in order for you to hear your own higher self instead of the lower egoic self, small s, small self. In order to hear the higher self with a capital S, you can't have any beliefs. Now you might think, oh, what a terrible job. How am I going to do that? I'll never hear my higher self ever. Well, no, it doesn't quite work like that. What actually happens is, throughout your day, there are many moments when your mind is at rest. You're not thinking anything particular. You're not thinking of a job you're in the moment doing. You're not thinking of something that's happened or something someone has done. You're simply in a state in between your thoughts, in between your lower vibrational thoughts. There's a space. In that space, the mind of God can reach you and does. And it happens to any reasonable person throughout the day, many times. As a matter of fact, you've probably heard some people say, I'm not perfect, I'm a work in progress. What is happening is that person will experience higher consciousness from time to time. It's always wisdom at its best. It's always profound, helpful information for yourself, or especially we do it for others. That is your higher self giving information to you that dawns on your mind out of seemingly nowhere, and you find that information amazingly helpful. What we misunderstand, however, is that information coming from your higher self has nothing whatsoever to do with your lower egoic self. I think of the ego self as the separation from the infinite creator. Why? Because all information arising out of the lower self is man-made. Give you an example. Before you are born, your soul makes soul agreements with other souls. In other words, you know who your parents are going to be before you arrive here. It's prearranged as a soul agreement that your mom and dad will be your parents. Then you arrive here after your birth, and immediately upon arriving, you receive genetic bloodline information at a DNA level. Your DNA is like a massive memory bank. And your ancestors, your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on, all have had tendencies and inclinations to act in certain ways. That's why sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, you're just like your grandmother. My goodness, she was like this and this, and so are you. You're just like her. Yet you may have never have met your grandmother. She may have passed on before you were even born. Or somebody says, you're just like your grandfather in this way or that. It's amazing how much you're alike. And we're not talking about physical appearance. We're just talking about attitudes of things. So you're just like your grandfather, my goodness, but you may never have met your grandfather, and yet you have his tendencies within you. Those are genetic memories. If you take a look at the research that Microsoft has been doing in the last 2 years with the State of Washington University, the University of Washington, it is information and research done on using DNA, not human DNA, but man-made DNA in a laboratory, using DNA as a source of memory. And what they're discovering is DNA holds much, much, much more information than any computer chip or memory system developed to this point. So moving forward, you can expect to see the computer industry using strands of DNA to retain memory. The amount of information that's going to be needed in the world with the explosion of electronics and computers and internet, the amount of information that needs to be stored is humongous. And it looks like DNA may be the solution to doing that. So when you're born, your DNA is the same way. Your DNA is already pre-programmed with the hand-me-down tendencies of your ancestors. Now you've got to deal with that. One of the most common things is for people to feel an emotion arise within them that feels foreign to them, like it doesn't belong to them. You might feel, for example, feelings of vindictiveness towards others, where you want to show them, if you're going to treat me like that, you're going to regret it, and I'll show you, you'll never act like that again. And when you feel that vindictiveness arise within you, you think, that's not me. Where is that even coming from that I would even have such feelings arise with me? I'm not vindictive. I have no inclination or interest whatsoever in teaching somebody a lesson that they better smarten up or else. That's coming from a relative. And it could be reinforced by other relatives who then live that experience too. When you look at your parents, they have lived in the shadow of the DNA of all their ancestors, and they've had to deal with that for better or worse. One of the best things I thought a young couple could do before they have a child is take the first year and work together as a team, the husband and wife, work together as a team to clean out the cobwebs of the ancestral hand-me-down genetics that you no longer want. Many of those genetic hand-me-downs you would like to keep. Oh, you're like your grandfather is really positive about things. He was always thinking in positive ways and saying wonderful things. Or you're like your grandmother, you know, she loved to play piano and sing, and you seem to be the same way. There's certain things you will want to keep and to enhance. And other things you want to wipe off the slate. You do not want to pass certain genetic tendencies onto your children and give them that burden, where then they have to deal with the genetic hand-me-downs. And the way you do that as a couple in that year, and it's easy to do in this sense, all of the stuff that's negative will crop up. You who are in marriages know, you're in a relationship, you know exactly that's true. Whatever is negative always crops up, whether it comes from the one person or the other person. Things come up and we can get angry at one another. We can blame at each other. We can regret that we got married to each other. All of these things can come up. But if you're interested in coming from an updated upgrade to your DNA, so you're leaving your newborn child with a much upgraded version of your family history, genetically speaking, that child coming into this world will have a clean heart, no longer being angry and using the hand-me-down genetics that arrived with them, because you will have given them a whole new upgraded version of yourself and your husband too. So then you get pregnant, then you have the child, and you cherish that child and encourage them to think for themselves. Do not try to get them to be another you. That's one of the things you don't want. Okay, what else goes on with this idea of having no beliefs or saying no to beliefs? It's this. You have the lower self, which is your ego. We've just discussed that. The lower self is what you think of yourself, how you think of yourself from your family genetics, from the upbringing in the family that you're in, from your cultural background, all the things that are acceptable, not acceptable, from religious or political views within the family. That's all man-made, even up to your education, where you're deciding how you want to define yourself. You're thinking of yourself and what do people think of you? What do you want to think of yourself? And you are changing the impression you have of yourself as you go through life day by day. And we continue that right on through life until we're out of here. We never stop reviewing our own lives and constantly trying to upgrade and improve. Why would we even want to improve? It's because there's something within us keeps calling us forward, calling us higher. We don't know what it is. Well, it's the divine self. It's that aspect of us that's made in the image and likeness of God. You did not create yourself. I did not create me. Your parents did not create you. At a soul level, you are one with the infinite creator. You were created from that love, and you are an idea in the mind of God. And you have always existed, and you always will exist. There is no such thing as death. Yes, there's putting the body aside, like a coat that doesn't you don't need anymore. But that's not you. The body is not you. You are a spiritual being having a very temporary physical experience. So the body is not you. But what you do is you think from your higher self, you connect to the higher self. And when you function from that higher self, you have much more of a masterful control over your own destiny. You master your destiny by functioning from your higher self that is made in the image and likeness of the infinite creator. What this is so incredible. That it's amazing as a human species, we haven't figured this out already, that the body is just a very short-term experience, but it's a good one. It's a powerful one. In this third density, where we don't remember past lives, there is that veil of forgetfulness. It's extremely helpful. If we knew of our other lives, it would really impede our growth here. We're better off not knowing because we'll constantly be thinking back on that all the time. We need head-on experiences here that we are to learn from. If you want to look to those experiences, look first of all to your mother and father, and then to your siblings, and then to your all your friends, and everything that arises right in front of you is an opportunity for you to change your perception of yourself and of others. So the idea in not taking on beliefs is to free yourself up so that in those moments, in between your thoughts, God, universal mind, higher self, Holy Spirit, Christ consciousness, whatever other name, whatever cultural, you might have other names in other cultures, meaning the same thing, that higher self will speak to you in the spaces in between your thoughts. While your mind is busy with thoughts, you can't also hear the higher self. You have to do one or the other. You can't. You're either listening to the higher self, which speaks to you in between thoughts, or you're listening to the ego, which is babbling all day long about nothingness, one or the other. The other thing that's important to note is the higher self and the lower egoic self never agree on anything. They can't agree. It's actually an impossibility. Why? Because the lower self is the separation, and everything it thinks and says and does is all about remaining separate. It always is. This is why in the third density, people are against each other constantly, whether it's in politics, whether it could be in sports even, it could be certainly in religion, culture, whatever. People are, you and me are separate. We're against each other. I'm better than you. All of this nonsense comes from people who are not listening to the higher self. Now, here's the reason you don't want to take on beliefs, fixed beliefs. You will not be open to hearing the voice of God in those moments between your thoughts. you won't be open to it. Because if that voice started to speak to you, you would shut it down instantly if it did not fit within the framework of your belief system. If something came to you that was much wiser or greater than something from your religious belief, you would not hear it. Having said that, there's a rather interesting statement in the Course of Miracles that says, listening to the voice for God would be the most natural thing in the world to do. The most natural thing in the world that you could be doing is listening to that higher conscious voice. The Course goes on to say, not only is it natural, it's the only natural thing in the world that you can be doing. The only natural thing you could be doing in the world is listening to the voice for God communing with you constantly. Why? Because that is what you are also. You are one with the infinite creator and not separate at all, except that you think you are. It doesn't make it true that you're separate, but you think you are, because that's the lower self trying to pull you down in vibrationally speaking away from the oneness. That's a pretty significant voice. So what are you doing if you're not listening to that voice? If the Course is right when it says it's the only natural thing in the world to be doing, then what if you're not doing that? What are you doing? You're thinking thoughts that are embedded with past memories. Past memories, like something happened to you yesterday. Oh, I got an argument with so-and-so yesterday. It was terrible. She made me feel terrible. It's her fault. Sometimes I wish I didn't even know her. You drag that thought into this present moment, into the present moment that is untouched. Do you know that the present moment is like a clean slate? It has no meaning whatsoever. It's up to you to give it whatever meaning you wish. You can bring in a memory from yesterday where you had a down and out fight with somebody at work or a spouse or a child, and you're regurgitating that all over again. When that free and clear moment you could be using to access your higher self, and you'd be bringing in wonderful, powerful information to help you move your life forward. What do you choose? You choose the lower self or higher self. You cannot have both in the same moment. There's a common phrase you might hear people say, I'm a work in progress. I'm not perfect yet. I'm a work in progress. It's true and it's not true. When somebody says, I'm not perfect, I'm a work in progress, they're really referring to their ego, the lower self, which does need serious improvement. It cannot be improved on, because it is the separation. Its very nature is to project blame onto other people. That's what the ego does. But you are like a person in the middle. You're like an observer. You can choose to listen to that voice that wants to continue to blame everybody else, or you can listen to the higher self that never blames. So we'll leave that thought with you, because I think it really clears up for a number of people the idea that you must be careful about your beliefs. You must be choosing things carefully. It's not possibly completely without your beliefs in this world. You couldn't function. You can in the higher minded state. I'll talk to this on another video, but there is a statement in the Course that says, a healed mind does not plan, but listens to a voice that it's not its own. A healed mind does not plan, but instead it listens to a voice that is not its own, meaning a healed mind is a mind that doesn't function from ego anymore, but listens to the higher consciousness, and that's where it gets its guidance from. And in this lifetime, I feel my personal goal for myself is to run my life less and less from the ego, more and more from my higher self, which is one with the divine. And as I do that, my vibration will rise higher and higher and higher. And it states in the law of one, I love this, I love the law of one, where it says, when you get to a point when you're thinking from your higher self, roughly 51% of the time, when you finish your life here, you leave this life, you will automatically transition yourself into the next higher density. Why? Because you're already thinking that way. or you wouldn't be living from your higher self 51% of the time. When you live from your higher self 51% of the time, loving, allowing, encouraging, not looking for fights or debates or disagreements, you are functioning at a vibration that's higher than the world around you. And every time you drop below that 51%, drop down to a negative vibration because something happened to you, where all of a sudden you're really angry at somebody, blaming somebody, you will have dropped down below that point where you should be. You'll know it. You'll recognize it. You'll think, oh, I don't want to be doing that. I don't want to keep blaming that person. Every time I blame that person, I feel terrible having blamed them. I have a terrible day myself. I can't sleep. You self-correct yourself. When you're at 51% living from the higher self, you start to correct yourself. So that 51% begins to climb higher and higher and higher. And you're good to go to move on to the next density. Whereas if we stay in the mud of blaming others and condemning and staying below that break-even point of 200 out of 1,000, the 200 of 1,000 is a tipping point where you go into such negativity that you can't transition. You don't want to go there. You want to be high up in thinking positively about everything. And you will find as you do that, you will have well up within you this idea you can do anything. You can accomplish anything. You can be anything. And it will come from your highest self. And you will recognize in each other when someone else speaks from their higher self, you'll say, whoa, that was the higher self of that person telling me that. And then they will, when you validate them, you say, thank you for that idea you passed on to me. That must have come from really some high place within yourself because that was really good. Can I use that idea? And it makes them feel good because you have validated them in them accessing an idea that dawned on their mind from their higher self, probably in between their thoughts. And then they've passed that on to you. This is the way higher consciousness works. Hope all of this is helpful to you folks. And I look forward to speaking to you next time. And why am I not getting any music? Dunno. Trying different tunes there. Got to get this music working right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.